Hello, everybody. This is Mike Warshan, and today we have Marcella Romanette. Marcella has been a journalist covering the U.S.-Mexican border for 15 years. Hello, Marcella, and can you introduce yourself?
I've worked on both media, mainstream English and Spanish language media. Right now I'm freelancing for a different publication.
Does journalism have a role in educating the public and the policymakers on the fear that's been created by the Latino migration?
You use the word fear, and that's the correct word. It has created a fear, because when I started doing this 15 years ago, there was a compassion for them, and there was a need for my gardener, Juanito, and he's so nice, and his family. And this is going away now, and I think it's because of the media also. They have portrayed them as freeloading individuals that suck the blood out of the system, out of our social security system.
We hear and we read about immigration, violence, drugs. I kind of lump that together. Is that there's a huge underemployment of Mexican skill people, and maybe that's not, is that along the border or not? I mean, we're learning that Mexico graduates more engineers than United States, but where do they come into play? I mean, there's a whole intelligent, hugely intelligent group of people, and I'm not saying the other people are not intelligent, but manual versus professional applications. They come over here, and yet I was shocked to hear that.
Doctors, there's many doctors, there's lawyers, they do come under different circumstances. Their company brings them, it gives them makes the process possible for them. But that is very small.
What the U.S. was trying to do during the immigration legal process a month or so ago was to try to bring in the more educated Mexican population, and that, Gates and Dobbs and Silicon Valley was trying to, put some laws together for that, but it really didn't make it public. And so I'm wondering if it's just not interesting.
They can come. The immigration system is going to make it easy for them to come because there's a need for the intellectual base. But they haven't. They've turned the other way when it comes to unskilled.
Can you give any examples how journalism is helping the first generation Latino community work its way into, the United States communities?
They're not in the mainstream. They remain in the shadows. They remain underground. They're not seen. It's like they're invisible.
But see, if I go to someone in New Jersey or, Connecticut, or they have no idea. And so am I sensing a gap in media, or is it just not interesting, or why is that not important?
I recently did a tour with Borstar. Borstar is the search and rescue team. It's a Border Patrol Search and Rescue Trauma Team. And they're the ones that pick up the, very, very ill or dead bodies in the desert. And he was from somewhere in upstate New York. And he said, my parents live in New York. They have no idea what's going on down here. They have no clue. Newspapers have to be local. Newspapers are community-oriented. And they have to serve the needs of the community. And that's not a need over there. It's a need here. And that's pretty much what happened. I think that's part of why this immigration policy failed so badly. Because it didn't just fail. It failed, miserably, hugely, tremendously. Nobody wanted, it was a hot potato that nobody wanted to touch in Congress and in the Senate. And it failed because they're not informed. Somebody from Congress comes down and does that ride along I did with Borstar, they would have voted for it, because the day I went with Borstar, it was 110 degrees, no rain in sight. We found a group of 8 walking in the desert, children, mothers, men, no water. They had been walking in the desert for 8 days, 3 without water and food. They were the Borstar agent said 4 or 5 more hours, we would have found 28 bodies.
Seeing that person to person has got to be a tremendous experience. But I have to say that the media does tell me that story. I mean, I do see that story, maybe because I'm in Santa Fe. But if I call up somebody in, you know, the Northeast or the Midwest, they hear that story. What they don't hear is this is a growing – I mean, they're shocked to know how many people are in Juarez and Tijuana and Nogales. These are huge cities. They're shocked to know what's going on in those cities. They're shocked to know that there's an intelligent group in Mexico that could rival India and China, but they're not let in. I mean, these are shocking facts, and yet they didn't make it to Congress for Congress to make a decision. And maybe, you know, Congress has to feel the pressure to make a decision. I think that's kind of how we work nowadays. The media is not getting that information to the rest of the country. And I think it's important because, you know, you're dealing with the United States' second largest trading partner outside of Canada. And we don't treat them that way. And you're also dealing with a country that was a few votes away from being very friendly with probably one of our biggest enemies that we don't talk about a lot is Chavez in Venezuela. There's something missing.
I want to sell my newspaper. I can't address it to you. I have to address it to the mass media, which is not educated. Sorry to say that, because we don't have journalists that are trained in the subjects of economics, investment, all this. I just went to a seminar in San Francisco, huge seminar. There's a school of business and economics for journalists, okay? They had workshops every day. They were empty. Nobody goes there.
There's a whole advertising media, technology, traditional media thing swirling around, and everybody's searching for how do I pop to the top.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's not sensationalist enough to sell newspapers. You know, newspapers are in the decline because my company just, you know, lost 100 jobs. And I went to the other day for a job interview, and they lost 3 positions, and they're filling 1. You know, and the poor guy that gets that job is going to do the job of 3. Why? Because it's in a crisis. So they have to sell. They're pressured to sell. And if business and economics doesn't sell, they're not going to touch it.
Let's talk a little bit about YouTube or non-traditional media and talk a little bit about the Latino access to that.
It used to be a huge divide, but now it's not because all our newspapers, all our Spanish language newspapers have websites and we stream video. And because you forget that there's 2 types. There's also the second generation Latino that has been there here for 20 some years and speaks English and has maybe, you know, some education, even a degree, you know, a bachelor's or something like that. They use these media. They go to YouTube, and before you know it, you're going to see YouTube in Espanol.
Why don't you give us some comments looking at the Latino media, and just give a little bit of, you know, how is that going to work from here going forward to help that community work its way into new communities they're going to end up in?
See, I don't know because I don't have that answer. Because when I worked for Spanish language newspaper, I would notice that the news stories in my newspaper were never even got to the mainstream newspapers. We report on different subjects. We have different needs. We have different views of immigration. We see everything with a different focus because, of course, the immigration, you know, issue has polarized everybody.
Thank you, Marcella. Thank you, audience. Please put comments, www.marsound.com, and we'll talk to you soon.